Whether you've tested positive for the coronavirus or know somebody who has had symptoms, we all have a lot of questions about COVID-19. And joining us to answer some of them is Jeffrey Shaiman, professor of environmental health sciences at Columbia University. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Jeremy.
Well, and the White House task force and the doctors there seem to think that the social distancing guidelines are working. Do you think they're working, or how big of an effect are they having on infection rates in the U.S. so far?
Well, there's some evidence that there is some slowing in the rate of growth in certain communities. Certainly, we've seen that on the West Coast in Seattle area, and we're seeing it just start to happen in New York City, which is encouraging. The reality, unfortunately, is that there is a very large delay between when an individual acquires SARS-CoV-2 and when they're actually confirmed for having it. I'm just going to walk you through this a little bit here. Mm-hmm. So if a person gets infected with a pathogen, they go through what's called a latent period, where the virus is growing in their body. They're not contagious. They're not shedding it. They're not symptomatic. That period probably is about 3 to 5 days. After that, they become contagious. And there's evidence that there's what's called pre-symptomatic shedding, that people shed the virus prior to the appearance of symptoms. And that period of time is about 1 to 3 days. Then once a person becomes symptomatic, their symptoms grow over time. They tend to worsen. And so that may be 3 to 5 days before somebody's symptoms are severe enough that they're motivated to go to the hospital, see a doctor, and they may actually become tested. And that time is another 3 days. You add all that up and you're looking at a 10 to 16 day delay between when somebody acquired the infection and when they're actually confirmed for having it. And what that means is that when we see people today as confirmed cases, they acquired the infection a couple weeks ago. And a couple weeks ago, some of the interventions that are in place, for instance, right now in New York City, were not yet in place.
Right.
So we haven't seen the effects of those interventions and how they flatten the curve in terms of confirmed cases yet.
Okay, so let me ask you this. For people who have been basically self-quarantining for the last 2.5 or 3 weeks in some parts of the country, if they've been quarantining and a friend of theirs has been quarantining, is it okay at this point for them to get together, or do they still need to stay apart from each other?
I think the prudent thing would be to avoid that. And in a perfect world, that would be something sensible where you could do that. But the reality is most of us need to go out and still encounter other people along the way. You go out on the street and you're going to walk near people. You need to get groceries. You're going for essential services. You're going to places where other people are who may not have quarantined themselves and for which the virus may be present and may be able to circulate.
Let me ask you this too, because I've talked to a number of people that I know who haven't been tested for COVID-19 because it's been too difficult for them to get a test, but it's pretty clear that they had it. They've got this symptom that many people have where they lose their sense of taste or smell. Once they have recovered or they don't have any symptoms anymore, is it okay for that person to start going out into the world again?
So this is an important question. And the way that people think about allowing this to happen, it's been suggested, is that people who have evidence that they have been infected, you can go do things and we can start to get the economy going again. And only people who haven't been exposed and have evidence of having been infected are required to use this social distancing and have more limited interaction. This is sort of predicated on the idea that people who are infected are not going to get infected again and then transmit it to someone else. We actually don't know if this is the case with this virus, which is really unfortunate. What we do know is that for the related endemic coronaviruses, there are four of them that circulate in humans all the time, that people get repeat infections with them. And if it happens on a rapid time scale, that would mean that, you know, within 6 months, a year, those people would be capable of being reinfected again and then transmitting to somebody else potentially.
What's your best guess about when this country is going to get back to normal, at least start opening back up?
Oh, boy. I wish I could give you a nice early date on all this. I think optimistically, if we can get a lid on this by, you know, let's say, beginning of June, And if the virus itself has some seasonality to it, such that it's not as transmissible in our summertime here in the United States, we may catch a break and have it lighten up for a bit. But then we're going to have to really contend with, you know, battening down the hatches when it comes to September, if it is seasonal like that and it starts to ramp up in its transmissibility and its activity. We're in this for the long haul, and we have to figure out how we're going to get along with this virus until we can develop that vaccine or have an improved therapeutic that really limits the number of people who are suffering severe critical reactions to it and dying from it.
That is Jeffrey Shaiman, a professor of environmental health sciences at Columbia University Mailman School of Public Health. Thank you so much again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.